Welcome to the Deep Dive. It's great to have you with us today. We analyze a massive stack of articles, research papers, industry notes on this show. We're constantly looking for the signal in all that noise.
Right, there's a lot of noise out there right now.
There really is. But every once in a while, a piece of source material surfaces that just, it forces a complete recalibration of how you view the digital infrastructure surrounding us. And today, we are opening up a highly specialized industry report.
Yeah, the Tech and Analytics briefing.
Exactly. It's dated March 5, 2026. And the title alone, it sets a pretty heavy tone. It's called The Fall of the CPU and the GPU Revolution.
And that title is not an exaggeration. The briefing documents a paradigm shift that goes way beyond your standard hardware upgrade cycle.
It's not just faster chips.
No, not at all. We are looking at a structural collapse of an established technological hierarchy. It's a total reimagining of how artificial intelligence physically operates right down at the microscopic level.
Okay.
The foundational architecture that governed computing for half a century simply cannot sustain the physics or the mathematics required by modern AI workloads.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because our mission today is to understand exactly why that traditional architecture was officially demoted in 2026. We're going to explore how generative AI basically broke the old systems, the extreme physical and thermodynamic lengths the industry is going to fix it, and what this unseen hardware revolution means for your daily digital reality.
It really touches everything you do online now.
It does. And to start, the report lays down this brilliant foundational analogy to explain the core mismatch. It compares the traditional x86 processor architecture, the CPU, to a brilliant mathematics professor.
I love this analogy.
Right. You have this highly complex, deeply sophisticated instruction set, and it's designed to solve intricate differential equations sequentially, just one highly difficult problem at a time.
But generative AI workloads do not require a single brilliant professor. They demand an army.
An army of laborers.
Exactly. Tens of thousands of basic laborers performing minuscule matrix multiplications in parallel, simultaneously. When you force a traditional sequential architecture to run multimodal AI inference, where you're streaming conversational queries, generating real-time video frames, or deploying autonomous agents to execute Python scripts, you induce a state of functional paralysis.
The system just chokes.
It completely chokes. And the specific physical mechanism causing this failure is known as the von Neumann bottleneck.
Let's break down that bottleneck for the listener, because the issue isn't necessarily that the silicon can't do the math, right? The issue is the physical logistics of moving the data to the logic cores so the math can actually happen.
That's right. Physical distance is the greatest enemy of modern AI computation. In a traditional server topology, you have your system memory banks over here, and you have your logic die over there.
Separated by the motherboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to generate an AI response, the system has to physically copy massive neural model weights across the motherboard pathways from the memory into the compute cores. The logistical process of shuttling those billions of parameters across physical copper traces consumes hundreds of times more energy and exponentially more time than the matrix multiplication itself.
Which is just crazy to think about. The commute takes more effort than the actual job. And the briefing provides some staggering benchmark data to quantify that commute penalty. They ran a head-to-head comparison.
A very revealing comparison.
On one side, you've got a massive 16-node Intel Xeon cluster, which represents the absolute pinnacle of traditional x86 sequential compute. And on the other side, just a single NVIDIA B200 Blackwell accelerator.
Both running the exact same workload.
Right, yielding the Llama 370 billion parameter model. And the performance delta is almost hard to process.
What's fascinating here is the sheer scale of the mismatch when you look at the economics and the power draw. The 16-node Intel cluster manages to produce roughly 45 tokens per second. But to achieve that, it draws 6,400 watts of continuous power.
6,400 watts for 45 tokens.
Yes. Translated into operational expense, you're looking at roughly $12.50 to generate 1 million tokens. Now, we contrast that with the single NVIDIA Blackwell chip. That single piece of silicon outputs over 28,000 tokens per second, drawing only 1,200 watts.
Wow.
The cost plummets to a mere 2 cents per million tokens.
$12.50 on the old architecture versus 2 cents on the new one. 45 tokens a second versus 28,000. It is a mathematical slaughter.
It's completely non-competitive.
But to achieve that 2 cent margin, the architects had to completely eliminate that physical distance penalty we talked about. They had to eradicate the commute across the motherboard.
And they achieved that eradication by abandoning traditional memory form factors entirely. The solution is high bandwidth memory, or HBM, stacked three-dimensionally.
So no more standard RAM sticks snapping into the board.
Gone. Instead of utilizing standard memory slots on a printed circuit board, fabrication facilities are literally stacking memory dies directly on top of each other. They use microscopic vertical connections called through-silicon vias, and they place that massive memory stack directly adjacent to the logic cores on the same interposer.
Bringing the physical distance down to millimeters.
Fractions of a millimeter in some layouts. Because the data barely has to travel, they are achieving memory transfer rates exceeding 8 terabytes per second. Traditional server motherboards relying on standard PCIe lanes and separate memory modules are structurally incapable of approaching that bandwidth.
So they're obsolete.
They are functionally obsolete for generative inference.
Here's where it gets really interesting. NVIDIA recognized that standard server motherboards were a bottleneck, so they just stopped using them altogether. They changed the entire server form factor for 2026 with the launch of the Grace Blackwell superchip. And this is the moment in the briefing where the traditional processor officially gets stripped of its crown.
Right, it gets demoted. The report explicitly refers to the Grace Blackwell architecture as the executioner's bullet for the traditional x86 ecosystem in the data center.
Which is quite the phrase.
NVIDIA designed their own highly specialized ARM-based processor called Grace. And instead of plugging a GPU accelerator into an existing enterprise motherboard alongside a standard CPU, they took their custom ARM silicon and fused it directly to the monolithic Blackwell logic die.
Fusing them together fundamentally redefines the hierarchy of the whole system. What is the actual role of that ARM processor if all the heavy mathematical lifting is happening on the Blackwell side?
It acts purely as a middle manager. Its entire existence is relegated to fetching data packets from the solid-state storage arrays or the network interface and just blindly feeding them into the accelerator.
Just a data fetcher.
Exactly. And to ensure this feeding process never stalls, NVIDIA implemented an internal interconnect called NVLink 5.0. This dedicated pathway shuttles data between the middle manager processor and the logic cores at 1.8 terabytes per second. It completely circumvents the traditional PCIe bottlenecks that plague legacy hardware.
Now, while NVIDIA chose to fuse different types of silicon together, the briefing highlights a wildly different philosophy from their biggest competitor. AMD's approach with their Instinct MI400 accelerator seems to completely ignore the fusing strategy in favor of sheer brute force.
AMD's engineering strategy focuses on simplicity through massive unified capacity. Multimodal generative models are notoriously thirsty for VRAM.
Very thirsty.
To keep a 100 billion parameter model entirely in active memory without offloading, because offloading would instantly kill your performance, you need a colossal amount of capacity. AMD responded to this requirement by packing up to 288 gigabytes of ultra-fast HBM3E VRAM onto a single package.
And packing 288 gigabytes onto one chip really changes the deployment math for an enterprise buyer. We know that clustering multiple accelerators together introduces severe networking complexities. You have to synchronize data across nodes, deal with software bridging, manage interconnect latency. It's a headache.
Avoiding those clustering penalties is the core value proposition of the MI400.
Yeah.
A mid-tier corporate data center can deploy a single AMD package and run an entire enterprise-grade model natively.
Wow.
There is no need to split the model weights across four separate cards and deal with the subsequent networking nightmare. It's a highly attractive proposition for organizations prioritizing deployment simplicity over peak theoretical cluster performance.
Bringing this massive hardware shift back to you, the listener, and your daily environment. The briefing contains a critical systems architecture signal regarding corporate operations. It estimates that 85% of daily corporate computing tasks, so we're talking code refactoring, dynamic SQL generation, complex data sorting, even automated customer service resolution, all of that is now executed autonomously by Linux-based LLM agents.
That's a massive shift in daily operations.
It is. And if your infrastructure is dedicating power to legacy racks filled with high-frequency sequential processors to run these agents, you are operating at a severe mathematical disadvantage.
Retaining that legacy infrastructure is a tremendous financial liability. And the discussion of operational costs naturally leads to the most urgent physical limitation highlighted in the Tekken report. Beyond token economics and memory bandwidth, the industry has slammed into the immutable laws of classical physics.
Thermodynamics.
Specifically, thermodynamics.
Because you cannot destroy energy. When a data center pulls megawatts of electricity from the grid to power these hyper-dense AI workloads, All of that electrical energy is inevitably converted into thermal exhaust. The heat density numbers in this briefing are alarming.
Historically, a standard dense 1U server rack populated by enterprise sequential processors consumed roughly 10 to 15 kilowatts of power at peak utilization.
Okay, 10 to 15 kilowatts.
Right. And the cooling infrastructure of the past 20 years, massive computer room air handlers blowing chilled air beneath raised floors and across copper heat sinks, was engineered specifically for that 15 kilowatt threshold. But today, a single unified rack populated by Blackwell superchips can draw upwards of 120 kilowatts.
120. The briefing uses a brilliant visualization to explain why traditional cooling fails at that 120 kilowatt threshold. It states that trying to use chilled air to cool a Blackwell rack is akin to trying to blow out a jet engine with a desk fan.
It's an accurate visual.
The ambient air in the server room literally lacks the thermal density and heat capacity required to extract that volume of thermal energy from the silicon.
Air is simply too thin to act as a functional heat transfer medium at that scale. Consequently, a newly commissioned 2026 data center looks nothing like the sterile, air-conditioned computer labs of the past decade. The facility more closely resembles an industrialized indoor plumbing system. We are operating in an era of liquid realities.
Walk us through what those liquid realities actually look like on the server floor. How are they interfacing liquids with highly sensitive, high-voltage electronics without causing massive short circuits?
The primary methodology is direct-to-chip, closed-loop cooling. Facilities are pumping highly engineered dielectric coolants, which are entirely non-conductive through microchannel cold plates mounted directly over the accelerator packages.
So the liquid is touching the plates, not the chip itself?
For direct-to-chip, yes. But in more extreme hyperscale deployments, engineers bypass the cold plates entirely. They employ immersion cooling, physically submerging entire server chassis into massive vats of synthetic fluorocarbon oils.
Literally dunking the servers in oil.
Yes. The oil absorbs the thermal exhaust through direct contact with the silicon and carries it away to heat exchangers. The briefing delivers a stark warning to enterprise buyers. Purchasing hardware today that does not natively interface with liquid-to-liquid cooling loops guarantees catastrophic e-waste.
The era of air cooling is dead, and the modern data center is quite literally a boiling vat of specialized oils and hyperdense silicon. But these massive, centralized, liquid-cooled facilities aren't the only places this architectural shift is happening. The briefing identifies a dominant new business mantra for 2026. Inference internal, training external. What is driving corporations to pull their inference workloads out of the centralized cloud?
The migration is driven entirely by intellectual property preservation and the mitigation of latency. Massive manufacturing entities, financial institutions, and healthcare providers are terrified of exposing their proprietary data.
Makes sense.
Transporting raw telemetry from factory floor sensors, autonomous warehouse robotics, or secure internal databases across thousands of miles of fiber to a centralized hyperscaler introduces unacceptable latency. In a high-frequency trading environment or an automated manufacturing line, a delay of 20 milliseconds can trigger a cascading system failure.
And beyond the speed, there's the security aspect. Handing over internal corporate data to a third-party cloud provider, even if it's encrypted, is a risk many boards are no longer willing to take in an age of AI scraping.
Security is the primary catalyst. Corporations are aggressively pivoting toward deploying isolated, on-premise networks utilizing specialized NPUs or neural processing units. A company will procure a relatively inexpensive half rack of NPUs and deploy a powerful open-source model directly onto that local silicon.
Keeping it in-house.
Exactly. They might run Meta's Llama 4 or Mistral 2 entirely within their own firewalls. The system functions as a localized, highly intelligent agent for their employees, but the telemetry never leaves the physical building. The corporate data never phones home to Silicon Valley.
But if a corporation is spinning up these localized NPU clusters to handle massive streams of internal data, something has to manage all that network traffic. Doesn't the traditional server processor still have to inspect the packets, manage the firewalls, and route the data between the edge servers?
The industry has engineered that final responsibility away as well.
Really?
Yes. To handle the ungodly volume of network traffic generated by continuous multimodal inference, infrastructure architects have universally adopted smart NICs, more commonly referred to as data processing units.
Okay.
DPUs. Hmm. These are standalone, highly specialized ARM-based network accelerators. The DPU intercepts the network traffic before it ever reaches the motherboard. It handles the deep packet inspection, the TCP/IP offloading, the encryption, and the firewall telemetry. The standard sequential processor is completely blind to the network traffic. Its final historical resume item have been stripped away.
So we have localized MPU clusters running open source models, liquid-cooled megachips dominating the cloud, and standalone DPUs handling the network traffic. Leaming out from the server room, the briefing details how this hyper-dense technological shift is radically altering macro-level global supply chains and geopolitics. There is a massive environmental paradox playing out in the Middle East right now.
The geopolitical implications are severe. Gulf nations, specifically the UAE and Saudi Arabia, are allocating hundreds of billions of dollars in sovereign wealth to establish themselves as dominant global AI hubs. They are constructing hyperscale facilities designed to train models at the GPT-5 tier and beyond,
which requires insane amounts of power
and cooling. Operating 120 kilowatt racks in a desert ecosystem creates an immediate critical infrastructure crisis regarding water consumption.
Because even with closed-loop liquid cooling inside the data center, that heat eventually has to be expelled out of the building into the atmosphere, and doing that requires cooling towers.
The water economics of those cooling towers are staggering. To dissipate the thermal exhaust of a hyperscale training cluster, the facility must evaporate millions of gallons of fresh water every single day. The briefing notes objectively that without pairing these desert data centers directly with next-generation nuclear-powered desalination plants, the ambitions of these Gulf nations are mathematically unsustainable.
You just ran out of water.
You cannot continuously evaporate millions of gallons of water in an arid environment without a massive zero-carbon desalination strategy directly attached to the compute cluster.
The footprint of a data center is no longer measured by square footage. It's measured by its proximity to unregulated electrical grids and infinite water supplies. Speaking of unregulated environments, the Tekken report outlines another major geopolitical anomaly: the evasion of enterprise silicon embargoes. There are heavily sanctioned regions globally that are legally barred from purchasing high-end enterprise accelerators like the NVIDIA H100 or the B200.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we see that strict hardware embargoes inevitably breed complex grassroots engineering workarounds. According to the briefing, rogue engineers in sanctioned regions have pioneered a methodology termed hyperclustering.
Hyperclustering.
They are bypassing the enterprise restrictions by procuring thousands of top-tier consumer gaming GPUs, specifically the RTX 5090 graphics cards, which are not subject to the same export controls.
They are building enterprise-grade supercomputers out of consumer hardware meant for rendering video games. Where are they even housing thousands of gaming cards, and how are they linking them together without the enterprise NVLink connections we talked about earlier?
They are housing them in repurposed, abandoned crypto mining farms that already have the necessary heavy-duty electrical infrastructure in place. Because these consumer cards lack dedicated high-speed enterprise interconnects, the engineers have developed highly sophisticated peer-to-peer networking protocols layered over standard Ethernet.
So they're hacking together a network.
Essentially, yes. They are writing custom software stacks to chain these isolated gaming cards together, forcing them to operate as a decentralized unified compute cluster. The briefing notes impartially that this decentralized hyperclustering methodology makes tracking compute capacity and enforcing silicon embargoes practically impossible for Western intelligence agencies.
You just cannot track the global supply chain of consumer graphics cards. It is an engineering marvel born out of sheer necessity. But even with all of this innovation, immersion cooling, 3D stacked memory, decentralized peer-to-peer protocols, the briefing makes it clear that classical silicon is approaching a terminal velocity. We are hitting the absolute physical limits of copper.
The ultimate bottleneck inside the chip itself is the physical copper interconnects used to transmit data between the logic gates.
Huh.
When you push terabytes of data across microscopic copper wires, the electrical resistance of the metal generates immense waste heat.
You're right, friction, basically.
You can submerge the chip in fluorocarbon oil to cool it down, but eventually the fundamental electrical resistance of the copper itself prevents you from moving the electrons any faster.
So if pushing electrons through copper generates too much resistance, what is the architectural solution to shatter that ceiling?
The definitive answer, currently being deployed by the industry, is replacing electrons with photons. We are seeing the commercial rise of photonic compute. The briefing specifically highlights pioneers in this space, such as Lightmatter and AR Labs, who have successfully commercialized silicon photonic accelerators for the 2026 enterprise market.
We are talking about using actual light inside the computer chip to perform data transit. How do you integrate laser pulses into a silicon die without destroying the architecture?
The architecture is a hybrid electro-optical system. The raw logical calculations are still executed by traditional silicon transistors. However, all of the communication, both interchip between the cores and interchip across the network, is facilitated by optical waveguides.
Fascinating.
They use a technique called wave division multiplexing to shoot multiple wavelengths of light through these microscopic channels simultaneously. Because the data is transmitted as photons rather than electrons, the transit generates absolutely zero electrical resistance.
Zero electrical resistance means zero thermal exhaust from the data movement.
Exactly. It eradicates the heat penalty of data transit entirely. Furthermore, it allows data to travel at the literal speed of light between interconnected GPU clusters. This hybrid optical approach reduces the energy cost of data transit by over 90% and completely shatters the bandwidth limitations of copper, allowing tens of thousands of individual processing nodes to act logically as one colossal, unified hyperprocessor.
The briefing wraps up the photonics section with an incredible insight regarding quantum physics and historical cycles. It points out that we are actively repeating telecommunications history at the nanoscale. Decades ago, massive bundles of copper telephone lines were ripped out and replaced by fiber optic cables to facilitate the global internet.
A massive infrastructure shift.
And today, that exact same physical transition is happening inside the microchip itself. Photonic computing is eradicating copper interconnects at the microscopic level. The foundational architecture of our future compute is literally constructed out of light.
It represents a profound, irreversible evolutionary step in systems architecture.
So what does this all mean? We started this deep dive trying to understand why the traditional processor was officially demoted. Looking at the strategic verdict from Tekin Analytics, the collapse wasn't a sudden overnight failure, but by 2026, it is structurally obsolete. The x86 CPU is now effectively an administrative secretary, fetching data and managing storage.
That's all it does now.
The true intellectual heavy lifting, whether that involves generating complex biomedical simulations, real-time CAD modeling, or vast data restructuring, resides entirely within the domain of massively parallel liquid-cooled AI accelerators.
The final verdict from the briefing is uncompromising. Procuring legacy data center racks loaded with traditional multi-socket sequential processors that lack dedicated high-bandwidth optical pathways for GPU and MPU integration is defined as economic suicide. If an enterprise facility does not feature native liquid cooling loops and optical data topologies, it is functionally obsolete.
For you, listening to this deep dive, this invisible hardware revolution touches every digital interaction you have. The instantaneous voice agents, the generative design tools, the predictive platforms running in the background of your daily workflow, they only exist because the entire physical foundation of computing was ripped down to the studs and rebuilt from scratch. It was rebuilt to support the brutal mathematics of artificial intelligence. It's a microscopic revolution happening right beneath our fingertips.
The scale of the engineering is difficult to fully conceptualize. But before we conclude, I want to introduce a detail buried in the final pages of the source text.
Oh.
Yes. When the analysts discuss the extreme limits of thermodynamic cooling, they briefly reference subterranean bunkers and experimental extremes. And within that section, they explicitly name Microsoft's Project Natick ocean deployments.
Ocean deployments. I completely missed that detail. They are putting these hyperdense AI clusters underwater.
I want you to mull over the implications of that concept. We have been culturally conditioned to conceptualize the cloud as something ethereal floating somewhere in the sky. But as these massive AI clusters demand infinite thermal headroom, and as we rapidly exhaust the fresh water and electrical capacity available on land, the physical location of the cloud is shifting.
Wow.
The next time you prompt an advanced model with a highly complex query, consider that the mathematical miracle generating your response might not be happening in a warehouse in the desert. It might literally be executing inside a completely submerged, pressurized data center resting on the floor of the ocean. How will our global marine ecosystems adapt to becoming the ultimate heat sinks for superintelligent, hyperscale AI?
That is a staggering visual to end on, a boiling ocean powering the neural pathways of the next generation of artificial intelligence. It absolutely forces you to look at the devices we use every day through a completely different lens. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the hidden architecture of your digital world, and we will catch you on the next one.